This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
One more real quick. Paul, Wildcard 2, come on the line from Yuba City, California, and talk to us for just a minute, because that's about all we have.
Thanks for having me on. The way I look at this is that with basically, as the president, we have a hybrid. We have somebody who grew up with Frank Marshall Davis, who was a communist, and also with the anti-colonial edge, which is directly linked back to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is directly linked back to the Nazis. And what we have is somebody who is a national socialist. And you can see how he drives his agenda. Also, as the president, he has been linked directly to the Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, if you take a look at Benghazi, which is now turning out to be nothing more than Fast and Furious on steroids over in Europe, you know, you've got a president here who's got a clear agenda. His behavior patterns, all the things that have been going on with all the school shootings, all that stuff fits the same thing as what you saw in Hitler's Germany. And he's basically using the same tactics that Hitler used to take over Germany. It's being applied here in the United States.
That's an interesting point. Thank you very much for the call, Paul.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
In the original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of exceptional things going on, of course. Once again, you woke up this morning and Donald J. Trump, yes, he was your president, acquittal on both charges, basically, yesterday. Mitt Romney was the holdout, of course, had to say that he was, he had to vote against or for one of the charges. We won't discuss, we had a pretty good discussion last hour about Mitt Romney and, of course, our feelings towards Mitt and other things. The prayer breakfast went very, very well for the president this morning. He was holding up the USA Today paper in front of everybody, including Nancy Pelosi, just a few feet away, said acquittal to standing ovation at the prayer breakfast this morning. So he's on good stead. And of course, when he opened up his statements, it was blistering. We're going to have those statements for you in a little bit. Pretty amazing stuff he said at the very beginning. He said that you're probably going to like what I have to say. And of course, I liked it. I think most of his supporters liked it, but Nancy Pelosi didn't, made her very uncomfortable. Thank goodness. Anyway, we got a lot of things to cover here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. And remember, MyPillow is a supporter of New California. 800-266-4715. Agenda for all of your MyPillow products. With us right now is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. And we've got a lot to talk about. Things are still, you know, now that this impeachment thing is over with, we shift into big, high gear for a number of different reasons for this president and the actions of the federal government. Dave, what's going on in your world? Welcome.
Well, what's going on in my ear? Well, I'm wiping the sleep out of my eyes here. I had about 2 hours talking to people in Ukraine. Is a different experience because they're in a different time zone. So anyway, there's a lot that's gone down. And let me give you the most stunning coincidence I've ever experienced in the media. I had proprietary information, and Alexander Daly, my researcher, my key researcher, had one of them as well. She had part of this, and I ended up getting the whole thing. But earlier in the day yesterday, we found out that after the conclusion of the Senate vote to acquit Donald Trump, that Grassley and Johnson, their different committees, were going to announce that they had made a demand on the Secret Service director to release the travel records of Hunter Biden going to Ukraine and going to China. And here's how they worded it. Well, put it this way. This is how I worded it, and then I'll give you how they worded it. Earlier in the day, I published the fact that they were looking into Hunter Biden traveling on either Air Force One or Air Force Two. Let me put it another way. Hunter Biden was conducting illegal business on either Obama's plane or his dad's plane in 2015, and the Secret Service has been covering it up. Then last night at the conclusion of the Hannity show, and I tuned in right at the end just to catch the final thoughts, Sarah Carter appeared and had the same story. And I'd had this out, oh gosh, maybe I started production on it maybe 5-6 hours before. And they said pretty much 90% in agreement with what I said. And I thought, oh, this is a deliberate plant. They've released this in different areas so we'd all hit it at about the same time. This is the big up yours to the Democrats. Here we come.
Right.
Because also what happened simultaneously to this was Barr announced 8 indictments against people of Middle Eastern background, some living here in the United States, like in L.A., and it was for illegal campaign contributions from the Middle East with foreign money that made its way into Democratic hands and their campaigns. And among them, the most prominent Democrats were Adam Schiff and Amy Klobuchar. Both received $2.7 million. Now, I don't know for the life of me, Paul, why they would indict just the people bringing in the money. Aren't you responsible for where the money comes from when it's your campaign?
Yep, it would seem.
But right now, Schiff and Klobuchar are not under indictment.
Not yet.
So, and by the way, that information hit everywhere. This tells me this was a mass release. I was one of the people that was told, watch out, Dave, here it comes. That was the other breaking news I got yesterday. And sure enough, I know Alex has it, and probably about 9 or 10 other websites that I've seen has this information with snapshots of the part of the indictment that shows the amount and who it was delivered to. So it appears to me that Trump knew he was going to be acquitted. He's got allies in the Senate and other places who are saying, okay, we're now going after the Democrats.
But, you know, the other thing, too, and I want to put this in as we're having this discussion, let's not be surprised that there are Democrats that are actually helping to make this happen.
I would agree, because not every Democrat is a traitor to this country.
That's correct. And, you know, I can't say who they are. I know who they are, but they're out there and in the Senate and also in the House. You have some people really upset in the House. They know they're going to lose their seats. And they're blaming Nancy Pelosi and others, but the bottom line is they're good Americans. First,
well, I I think I know who one of them is, even though she voted for, right. I believe we're probably talking about Tulsi Gabbard is one of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. She's one of them.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Just based on some things she said, nothing I've been told, but just I thought she's not really totally on board with this, but she kind of went along with the group herd mentality, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mentioned Mitt Romney. I don't know. Did you get into the Mitt Romney Kofor Black
deal at all? No, I did not. I was, you know, we were going to have you on the show, and we might want to explain that to everybody, what's going on with Mitt Romney. There's a lot to come out about Mitt. I have a ton of stuff, and because of our cross stories and stuff, I can't divulge what I have to the audience right now. But you, the Kofor Black thing, let's go with that.
Well, I'm going to say something else too. When you can't divulge something, I can divulge what I've been told. Okay, and I can't divulge the content or who told me, but I have certain things that tie in Mitt Romney worse than what I'm going to say here. Uh-huh. I have information that says that in the next 45 to 60 days, some very prominent people in the Democratic Party are going to get charged. And I know what it's about, but I stumbled upon it. And when I stumbled upon it, I've had two phone calls from surprising places who've asked me, can you please hold on to this and we'll do a mass release at the same time. But otherwise you could be interfering in a federal prosecution, and we know you don't mean to, but I've actually been told to hang on to certain things. But here's what we know about Mitt Romney. And this to me should be household knowledge by this time. This is old information we've had for a while, and we've published it. Alexander Daly and I found that Kofor Black, oh man, and we go down his trail, we go way off the beaten path where we're at now into real bad criminality with John Brennan, but it involves 9/11. And 9/11 was a rigged game, and Kofor Black and John Brennan were very much part of it. But staying on topic here with Mitt Romney, Kofor Black was Mitt Romney's national security advisor for his 2012 campaign. And where does Kofor Black sit today? He sits on the board of directors for Burisma. And shocking. I don't know how many people need this explained to them. I know that you have to know this, Paul. This is old information.
We covered this. The last time you were on the show, we covered this. And again, I want to go back and support what you're saying, because we're kind of bound by the same thing. We can't talk about certain things that we know of to put it out there to the general public, because there are these ongoing investigations. You know, when Trump put out the letter, the transcript of that telephone call, it's very revealing. I say this all the time on page 3, first paragraph. You can see it right there. There is an ongoing, and there has been an ongoing investigation into Ukraine since, 2017. And that's the point that blew up the Democrats and why we got the impeachment, because they went into hysteria when they realized that. And, of course, it's a deep investigation, and Barr's not talking about it, Jeff Sessions not talking about it, and certainly John Durham's not talking about it. So we're bound by some things we're going to respect in terms of investigations, but I think it's fair game, this Kofor Black business, especially this relationship with Mitt Romney right now.
And here's what triggered the phone calls to me to cease and desist in terms of, you can look into it, but please don't talk about anything connected to 1, 2, and 3. And here's what did it. I took the Hillary Clinton, we know, did pay for play, and she did it with, and I don't have the name in front of me, it's not Pasternak, but there was another Ukrainian arms dealer, one of the biggest ones, and he's one of the richest men in Ukraine. He's like the fourth richest guy. They conspired to use the Awan brothers and Debbie Wasserman Schultz to send the arms that were going to go to Iran, this is totally illegal. And they went to Pakistan. And when the trail started to roll up on Wasserman Schultz, that's when the Awan brothers did the bleaching of the computers and so forth and so on. And it's known that the Awan brothers were actually on the payroll at one time or another of 80 different Democrats. But the Awan brothers facilitated the move of the arms into Pakistan. And this is, tell me, this is what got investigators' attention. This is why I got the phone call, because I tied it into the Seth Rich murder. I said, the FBI right now, and I got this from an inside FBI source, and a trusted source, one that who's never been wrong and one I know personally, and they are really getting squeezed to destroy federal evidence regarding the 44,000 Seth Rich emails. And this person said, I'm not going to be part of this. And to protect themselves, they reached out to people that they know that do what I do. And they said, you can find the proof of the arms transfers in the mainstream media when you know how to put it together like a jigsaw puzzle. And it was really easy to do. And I published that. It's on the commonsenseshow.com website. And this is when I got the call, because here's what happened. Seth Rich knew that Bernie Sanders, his hero, was being screwed in the Democratic primaries. And he's right, because a Stanford University study showed the same exact thing. So he has all these emails, and he gives them to a guy named Gavin McFadden, who is at WikiLeaks. And the WikiLeaks guy ends up dying under very mysterious circumstances. I can't say it's a murder, but it's like that federal prosecutor looking into the same thing. His name is Wisenant, and he was a federal prosecutor in Wasserman Schultz's home district. And he was found bludgeoned to death on the beach, and somehow they got it to be ruled a suicide. So there's a murder trail here with regard to these emails, where Seth Rich is murdered because he stumbled into this on these emails. He wasn't expecting to find this, and that's when he goes, oh boy, WikiLeaks, here we come. The WikiLeaks guy is dead. The federal prosecutor who's looking into it is dead. And this is when the Wasserman Schultz bleaching the computers, and she went just absolutely ape poop when the Capitol Police seized the computers. And I'm sure you remember that whole story. Okay. And when the Awan brothers escaped the country because Obama's people wouldn't prosecute, what ended up happening? We found out that the Awan brothers were on the payroll for 80 Democrats. So Wasserman Schultz and Seth Rich shared the same server. Well, these aren't coincidences, Paul.
No, and here's the other thing. Let's tie this. Let's make this bow a really nice bow. In that the one congressman who hired the Awan brothers was Javier Becerra, and Javier Becerra also had his own computer, which was known to be a drop for information for all those other 80 members of the House. Was also his hard drive was bleached and destroyed before he left office, because he left office to become the Attorney General after Kamala Harris won election to replace Barbara Boxer. So he's now California's Attorney General, and of course he's been planted in my feeling is a deliberate plant to carry out the full severance, if you will, of California from the rest of the Union. That's one of his big tasks, and of course the lawlessness that's ensued since him becoming Attorney General. We're not making this up, guys. You know, Javier Becerra is about as dirty as it gets, and of course he goes into the Indian tribes and all the other things. It's this connect the dot with Nancy Pelosi. All these other things are going to come out as a sidebar to what you're talking about here, Dave. But let's not forget Javier Becerra's, you know, he's implicated with these other 80, and he's also implicated of hiring the Awan brothers to do exactly what they did.
Yeah, and this is, you're right. And I'll give you a piece of material that ties it all together, but it's well known. This isn't anything that's a revelation now, but Wasserman Schultz, this is when she was removed as DNC head. And this is because Podesta told her, you should have known and you should have been able to stop this because you two were on the same server. You and your people weren't minding the store.
That's right.
You're out as DNC head. But they had to protect her because I wrote this at the time, and my instincts were pretty good. I said, if you want to get Hillary Clinton, if you want to get the people who I think murdered Seth Rich, I said, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the place to go. And this is something everyone knows, but I want to just say it since we're telling the story. The investigation was still alive in Washington, D.C., but a federal prosecutor killed the investigation, and his name was Steve Wasserman, the brother of Wasserman Schultz.
Right, right. Yep. you know, the thing, I'm going to go back to Scott Adams, Scott Adams show. And of course, he's not here, so let's, you know, let's talk about him behind his back. Just kidding. But you got to remember, Dave, back in the day when this whole thing with Seth Rich was being buried, when the original variants of the story after he had been killed and so on, it was Scott Adams who kept the Seth Rich story alive. At least at Red State Talk Radio, because it was really not being talked about too much. And he said, "Well, no, there's something wrong going on." See, because he, you know, he's a computer tech guy. He understands. He has a great deal of empathy for someone such as a Seth Rich, and he sussed this whole thing out. Actually, he and Leonore actually attended the convention in Philadelphia that year, and he knew a lot of the players. And he knew there was something incredibly wrong, and none of the story made a lot of sense from a technical standpoint. And you know, I want to give a shout out to him, because I think the story would have just continued to have been buried, but if it wasn't for the great hard work of Scott Adams and Leonora Cravota to keep this whole thing going on. And now we just have a bigger the ever expanding circle is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're getting into this whole thing about Pakistan. Shocking. Now, I'm telling people that are into the story, the real other part of the story we can't talk about, Pakistan, shocking, shocking Pakistan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, some of the connected dots there with Benghazi. You know, I'm giving some codes out here to certain people. But this is the kind of stuff. This is going to be a story of monumental proportions. And Trump knows this, of course. He knows all this stuff. He knows what's going on. And that's why he's out there today, kind of, you know, he's proud. He should be proud about what's going to happen in terms of the people that have been trying to destroy this country. All that's over for them now, all of it. And well, California will become a new state.
There's one more little subtle warning I'll throw out to go with your hidden messages that only certain people will know. Let's just say this. A group who's close to Gavin Newsom and his predecessor, Jerry Brown, El Presidente, as you used to call him, their little private organization is dirty in everything you just mentioned.
Yep.
And I'm not going to say anymore, because that's my hidden, hey, you know who you are, and you know we have it. And by the way, this kind of goes into what I can't talk about. But I'll tell you this, you people who heard me say this, who are involved, you know, but it ain't just Dave Hodges and Paul Preston that know. It's known throughout the DOJ, you dumbasses.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, it's a matter of a waiting game for a lot of us. And, you know, the stars are aligning. You know, you talked about the 8 indictments that came out from Bill Barr, and no one's really talking about that yet. We've known that it was going to happen. It happened. There's been other low-hanging fruit that's you know, they're starting to circle up. And, of course, as anybody knows in law enforcement, when you do these kind of investigations, you start with the low-hanging fruit and you work up, then people talk along the way up.
Yeah.
And those people suffer the most.
When you know you're about ready to be exposed, Adam Schiff, this is how you get up in your closing argument and say some of the most stupid things I've ever heard. Well, if we let Trump continue in the presidency, he'll give away Alaska, and he'll let his son-in-law run Washington while he stays at Mar-a-Lago. I couldn't believe the things that were coming out of his mouth.
Delusional.
But I'm thinking, well, if I'm about ready to go to prison, I might be saying some pretty stupid stuff too.
Yeah, delusional. Absolutely delusional.
Totally delusional. And then Pelosi. I mean, her antics were like a third grader during the State of the Union. I mean, her body language. I mean, here you have the Mueller family, whose daughter was murdered by al-Baghdadi, and the justice was brought to them thanks to this president who let the military do their job, and the parents finally get some measure of justice, and everyone standing except the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi sitting on her thumbs. Talk about lack of humanity, lack of compassion.
Well, that's also called a clue as to who these people have been supporting all this time.
Oh, I didn't know you could go there. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Soleimani, the killing of Haik. Trump put those people in the audience for message purposes, too. Not only was he truly honoring these people, which I believe he was sincere, but he was sending a message, hey, you Soleimani supporters in the Democratic Party, watch out, baby, you're getting exposed. And this is why Hake's, the late Hake's son and his wife, why they were at the State of the Union. He was delivering messages all over the place.
Right. And, you know, the thing is that these messages are going to start resonating loud and clear like the trumpets blaring in everybody's ear just before the election. I mean, I'm telling you, that we're going to see news coming out that's going to be absolutely stunning in the months ahead. Absolutely stunning. And it's only beginning. We haven't even if we thought we were on the news cycle crazies over the last couple of years, we ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing.
But you know what's amazing to me, and this will seem like I'm totally going out in left field, but I'm not. It's very connected if you just stay with me. The Iowa caucus, I have done some work on this, and you have to go through four subsidiaries deep to get to the answer. But who paid for the app that made the Iowa caucus go dark and allowed vote counting to go behind closed doors where they could have the funny money baloney crap going on? And it was George Soros.
Right.
And he paid the money to a subsidiary four levels higher. And eventually that means he controls Shadow Inc. And Shadow Inc. was because there was Paranam, Acronym. I mean, these are all the levels of these false shell corporations.
These are known Soros organizations. I saw the names. It was like, well, here's Soros again. But these are well-known names. It's not that, you know, we had to go too far to figure this one out.
But there's a conclusion to come to this. It's not just this revelation. It's what it means that's really important. Now, Buttigieg came out, and even before they counted one vote, he said, oh, we've won on to New Hampshire. Okay, and what did it come out? He beat Bernie Sanders by 1%. Now, here's what's scary, and this is what the American people really need to hear. I used to fear Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi as being the most radical people. We could have gulags and have all the other bad stuff of all the totalitarian states if they ever totally took over the government. But this whole Iowa caucus thing is about unseating Bernie Sanders. Right. Because in their mind of the people that run the Justice Democrats, they're overthrowing the radical Democrats like Bernie Sanders. He's targeted. They did this whole thing in Iowa the way they did it so that Bernie Sanders would not win that particular primary because he's viewed as being too conservative. And please keep in mind, he's had not one, not two, not three, but four staffers come out and say Soviet gulags for Trump supporters is a really good idea. That shows you the flair and flavor of his organization, but he's deemed to be too conservative to be the Democratic candidate. That tells you what's coming, Paul. It's a Bolshevik revolution.
Yeah, and that's from them and from their standpoint. there's a whole couple of things going on there. That of course is the DNC is kind of shattered now because their ability to fix the election is, I think, very, very well seen and orchestrated. They fixed elections all the way across the board. And, of course, you take a look at the California election system, which is now systemized throughout the United States. But this whole shakeout, it was especially when you just got nothing coming in. Of course, the Republican side, it was 97% for Trump. But on the other side, with the Democrats, they just pulled the plug on the whole thing. And, well, there's a reason why they did, and it's because of Bernie Sanders. He was winning.
Yeah, they can't have Bernie out there. And, you know, here's what's amazing to me. Why you could not have a man who favors Soviet gulags, who honeymooned at Red Square, who wants to tax America at about 150% of its present income to support his nonsense socialist policies. How is that not radical enough? I mean, what could be worse than this? And all I have to say is look at Tlaib, look at Ocasio-Cortez. Look at Omar and listen to what they really say, and it tells you what's coming.
All of those were trained at Chapman University by Betty Valencia and her crew over there. Communist Maoists trained them at Chapman University in Orange, California.
And they were the Justice Democrats that put them in. And the strategy, and a lot of Americans don't know this still, and it's such old information, it's irritating that we don't know this as a public. But the Justice Democrats targeted more conservative centrist Democrats in primary elections, where a Democrat's going to win no matter what. So they wanted to get their Democrat in there.
Right.
And they didn't really utilize this strategy too much in Democrat versus Republican, but it was Democrat versus Democrat so they could get a hold of the Democratic Party.
Yep. Yep. Well, I think we're in for quite a little ride here going forward. And I think that if you take a look at the whole Democratic Party and the Bidens still have the ones that are really in the bigger trouble. I want to go back to the logs that the Secret Service and the flight schedules and so on. A lot of people don't understand how valuable flight schedules are and sometimes how easily accessible they are. Because you can tell, you know, obviously where people are flying to and what the motivation, if you understand the time and the circumstances by which they might be going someplace, it's a pretty easy tell to figure it all out. I want to go back to that because, you know, there's two things that you said earlier. One, if it was Air Force One, it was Obama that Hunter Biden was doing business on. If it was Air Force Two, of course, it was his dad. What about Air Force One?
Air Force One and Hunter Biden. I don't know the answer to that question yet. What I reported is what I was told the inquiry went to the Secret Service on. Now, someone knows that answer who's not telling me or did not tell Fox News. And I think Sarah Carter is in the same boat I am. We were given a kind of it's either or. But I believe the people running the investigation like Grassley, they already know. And I'll tell you another thing, too. I wouldn't want to be the Secret Service director this morning because with these logs, this man should have reported these crimes already. He's just as guilty as the people who did them for remaining silent all these years.
Well, I want to go into Christopher Wray at this point, the FBI director, because he's been on the hot seat for a couple of days. What's his role in all this?
Well, I believe he has a role. I'll tell you how I was able to find mainstream media proof piecing together publications
right.
about the arms going to Pakistan to Iran is that what triggered this was my own FBI source having people from Ray's office come to her and say, you're going to do X, Y, and Z. And the response was not something I can repeat on air. And this is what led to, this is where you can find this open source information, Dave. And I'm not the only one that has it because I've seen bits and pieces of exactly what I was told in other places on the net, like freedomsphoenix.com had something that I know that they received a lot of the same information I did. I think I went a little further in my investigation, so I had more detail. But this is out there, and Christopher Wray's people were the trigger in that demand they made on their employee. Where they wanted that employee to put themselves in the compromised position is what led this employee to tell me, hey, Dave, here's what it is, and I'm not being the fall guy for anybody, so please put this out here.
Well, the other – I'm not going to divulge – I know what the answer to that is, and I'm not going to divulge it out of respect to your stories and so on. But I'll go out on the record and say that Christopher Wray is complicit and Christopher Wray is in the hot seat and just I'll leave it at that.
He and McCabe.
And McCabe, right.
Yeah, McCabe. McCabe is clearly implicated in what I was told, much more so than Wray. It's just that the people – see, Wray wasn't very smart. The people that came and made this demand were directly from Wray. He should have gone a couple right. levels deeper, and so he had some plausible deniability, you know, at the McCabe level.
Yep.
But he didn't. He didn't. He was
let's
really
couch
stupid.
It here. So I want to back it up so that people can get the significance of this. These people are directly related to Wray, like an arm's length away. They're not three or four or five different levels down. They are directly related who approached the employee about doing something that's really wrong. And that's what you're talking about. So it's that close to Wray. And it prompts me to say he's just a bad criminal. He's a stupid criminal.
Well,
I mean, here's a guy who investigates criminals, and he's a stupid one.
I'm just going to say this. You don't get into the FBI leadership position of recent times, actually all times, to be honest with you, But you don't get there unless you're beholden to a criminal influence.
That's right.
And I'll give you an example. John Cruz, former senior VP of HSBC, I've interviewed John four times over the last several years, and he found evidence implicating, now this, people know this now, but at the time we revealed it, no one knew this but John, and John revealed information where Hillary was caught hand in the till with HSBC, involved in all kinds of money laundering, cartel influences, child trafficking, gun running, you name it, and he found this, and he had the proof. And he couldn't get anybody to act on it till he threatened to go public. And the person that acted on it was the head of the Eastern Division prosecutors. And her name was Loretta Lynch. Right. And she didn't do anything to HSBC, but issue, I think it was a $5 million fine, if memory serves me correctly. But in that revelation came out that on the board of directors for HSBC at right. the time Clinton was doing this stuff was James Comey. And he goes and works for the FBI.
Yeah, and okay. James Comey was the front man for all that stuff at HSBC, Hong Kong
That's
Shanghai
right.
Bank.
That's
dad,
right,
ladies and gentlemen.
And I got one, and I got one more, and I got two documents I published on thecommonsenseshow.com that shows that the Rostam memo and a State Department memo that showed that Mueller, the very guy that investigated right. Trump for Russian collusion and delusion, was the messenger boy for the Clinton Foundation when they took the stolen, highly enriched uranium. They stole it from America. Gave it to Putin for a price, and the guy that was the delivery agent for the first one was, guess who? Mueller.
Robert Mueller.
That's right. Yep. Another FBI head. They're all criminally corrupt, and now we know Chris Wray is criminally corrupt, and we know J. Edgar Hoover was criminally corrupt. I could go down. The 9/11 guy, he was criminally corrupt. Everyone that's run the FBI, in my book, is a flipping criminal.
Well, you know, you wonder, because yesterday it was a House investigation of the FBI that brought out a lot of the revelations about what was going on with Christopher Wray. And Christopher Wray was brought in. I think he felt a little bit blindsided because he got the Republicans absolutely going after his butt, which, you know, again, this goes into the whole thing with Grassley on the other side of the Senate. There's a coordination of effort going on here, but I look for Christopher Wray to be stepping down at minimum, pretty soon. That's just my prediction.
Well, what Chris Wray has to hope for is the three people he sent on that mission are willing to fall on their swords for him.
That's not happening.
What he has to hope for.
My opinion, I don't know. I just somehow feel that's not happening because, you know, those people are already known to investigators, to Bill Barr and those guys, already known.
Well, does the name Lisa Barsoomian mean anything to you?
No, it doesn't.
She's a fixer.
Ah.
And she's involved in this, too. Let's play the guessing game. Remember who the number two guy was in the DOJ when Trump came in?
Oh,
under Sessions?
Yeah, he wasn't much of a help.
God, I'm having a brain aneurysm here. His name just jumped out of my head. But his wife is Lisa Barsoomian.
That's right.
And if you want to do freedom of information on Lisa Barsoomian with regard to FBI cover-ups, and she's the fixer. She's represented the Clintons over 60 times.
Yeah.
And she's a federal employee, but she uses a fake ID, so you can't get freedom of information on her. She uses an NIH email, and she's a huge fixer.
Right.
And what I've been told is all this stuff that's floating around with
Rod
the Clintons.
Rod
Rosenstein's wife, Lisa
right.
Barsoomian.
Rod Rosenstein, right.
That's Rod her. Rosenstein's a nothing. I wrote an article on this a few years ago. When Trump first came into office, I said Rosenstein needs to go, and he needs to go mostly because of who his wife is.
Right.
And I talked about how she's represented the Clintons,
yep.
And this is pay-for-play, HSBC corruption, Ukraine corruption, all this stuff you and I are talking about. Lisa Barsoomian's been busy covering right. this up for years.
And she's worked with Mueller and Obama and so on. Mm-hmm. It says this is one of the memes that's out there about her. It says, I am the deputy AG's wife. I block FOIA requests and your right to know. That's one of them. Another one says conflict of interest. U.S. Attorney Lisa Barsoomian, wife of FBI Director Rod Rosenstein, protege of James Comey and Robert Mueller. She and Rosenstein owe their careers to Mueller, Obama, Bush, and the Clintons.
That's correct.
There's a whole other schemata of visuals that are on out there about her, the huge leak and all that stuff. This is conflict of interest, appointed special counsel, married to Rose. I mean, this, the whole network here is very easily. I think they're missing some others out of the pictures as we've expanded this, the Spygate thing, as they've seen from the Epoch Times and so on. And now this other Ukraine gate, which, you know, we're totally immersed in this, Dave. We have the whole picture of what's going on. Not everybody's got it, and they're starting to get it, you know. But the whole story about Ukraine is really starting to emerge, and that's going to be bigger than the whole Spygate thing. But Rod Rosenstein definitely involved in all this stuff. James Comey is still involved. It's, everybody that is in her sphere is involved with Ukrainegate. Everybody.
Yeah, well, bring in Seth Rich. I mean, we're going full cycle now. I published something here, and I got it in front of me now. On September 27th, 2018, I published I published some of the Barsoomian stuff, and I had published stuff on her much earlier, but I got into the fact that she was involved in trying to cover up the FISA file. She was very much a big player in this, and that there's Ukraine connections here. And I could go on and on and on. And I said at the time, if you want to bust up the deep state, Lisa Barsoomian is your port of entry. It's not Rod Rosenstein. It's the wife of Rod Rosenstein. And I published here. I got a document here. I'm looking at it right now. Rod Rosenstein's wife, Lucy Barsoomian, represented Bill Clinton in a case called Hamburg versus Clinton. And the case had to do with sexual assault, had to do with criminally trying to bribe people. This was a 1998 case, and now the court records are missing. Okay, and I could go on and on about the cover-ups that went on to keep this out of the media, and Lisa Barsoomian was there every step of the way. So, I mean, and she's a deep state or deep state. And she's really, I'll tell you what, it's kind of interesting what it's like. It's almost like the spouse of public officials is more dangerous than the public official. And I'll give you another example. Then you go, oh, yeah, you're right. How about Feinstein's husband and the connections to communist China? He's far more dangerous than she is. And I'm talking about danger to the national security of our country. And so it's kind of like these spouses are the ones that are really the bad ones you got to worry about.
The spouses and the children.
Well, when you get into Ukraine,
yeah,
and you're talking about John Kerry's stepson, you're absolutely right.
Christopher Hines.
This
is one of the memes that's out there about Barsoomian. It says, Rosenstein's wife represented Bill Clinton in 1998. Court records are missing. Ethics rules required his recusal. Rod Rosenstein has no business being involved in the Hillary Clinton DNC-triggered Russian investigation. Must less the selection of his mentor, Robert S. Mueller III, as special counsel. And this is because Rosenstein's wife, Lisa Barsoomian, represented Bill Clinton in 1998 with her boss, R. Craig Lawrence. Lawrence also represented Mueller 3 times, Comey 5 times, Obama 45 times, Kathleen Sebelius 56 times, Bill 40 times, Hillary 17 times between 1991 and 2017.
That's right. Those are words.
Target rich environment. This is just amazing. And again, to work at this level, ladies and gentlemen, you have to have this level of involvement by a lot of attorneys who will keep you clean. And I don't even think I've scratched the surface of the level of other attorneys that have been involved with all these people.
I'll tell you what I said on an interview I did when I wrote that article you just quoted from. I was on a series of interviews at that time where people wanted me to come on and talk about this. And I told people what this puts me in the mind of was the old film, great movie called The Firm with Tom Cruise. And here's this unsuspecting law school graduate that's recruited into an organization that does nothing but represent the mafia and cover up crimes. And he had no idea till he was in over his head. And I said, this is what this reminds me of. This is the firm movie that's enacted in real life.
Yeah. Here it is. Here it is. Some people say Rod Rosenstein looks like Heinrich Himmler. I say he's a spitting image of him.
You know, I have a theory, and I could be wrong, but Trump is dumb like a fox. I think he left Rosenstein in as long as he did, because I couldn't believe Rosenstein kept his job after all the things that were coming out. But I think he was using him just to find out more, to gather intel on the deep state for future use.
Yeah, No, he's dumb like a fox. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I keep telling people that he keeps certain people around him so that he can garner information from them. And that's exactly what he was doing with Rosenstein. He just thought that Trump was dumb. Not at all. Trump used him. And look at how far the penetration into the deep state has become. They don't even know what's going to hit them now. Well, they know. And by the way, listen, has anybody heard from Jim Clapper lately?
No, not
or
a word.
James Comey? Where's he been? He's just, and then Brennan pops up a little bit. Go ahead, Brennan, just keep talking. But, you know, these people are just vacuous. You just don't see them anymore. I wonder what's going on there.
Well, there's a link into what we started out this interview with. Brennan was and Kofor Black were the masterminds of the CIA knocking out the Russian-friendly Ukrainian government and then getting into bed with Ukrainian arms dealers. So to me, that's rich, fertile ground for more investigation.
Well, and of course, that's part of the investigations that we've got going on, too, as you know. And that's the time era. You know, when we first blew the story open about what was going on with John Brennan, a lot of people, we still have some remnants of it on the websites, but we were blowing the story open, wide open, about what John Brennan was up to in 2013, 2014 to make that flip of the Russian-leaning government to the Nazi, Muslim-leaning government that was installed by John Brennan. And, of course, that's when you got all the Burkitts and all these other people that were coming in as special police forces under Brennan that were killing civilians in the Ukraine at the time. All of this is laid at the hands of CIA Director John Brennan. He is the one who created that whole scenario for Obama and opened the door, literally opened the door for all the arms trading that was going on in 2013 and 2014. And, of course, Iger Pasternak coming in, throwing parties for Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff in Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. All
fundraising.
That stuff. All that
illegal
stuff.
Fundraising.
Yep. All that fundraising for those people. And again, there's a whole bunch of other people that are directly involved too, not just Hunter Biden, but also Paul Pelosi Jr. Paul Pelosi Jr. is one of the leaders of that group too. He was making a large sum of money from certain energy concerns in Ukraine. There's YouTubes of this. YouTubes in 2012 and 13 of Paul Pelosi Jr. Touting the energy concerns of some of these oligarchs. And Nancy Pelosi, of course, was throwing parties or having parties thrown for her to her benefit by Iger Pasternak, the arms dealer. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. But this
well,
is
I got
this
one
is
more thing that comes inside the
struggling.
Government.
Go ahead.
This other thing here. I'm sure you know who Vicky Nuland is.
Oh yeah, yeah. What'd she say?
And I'll just read to you one. I wrote this back in, I believe it was 2017. Vicky Nuland ordered the Ukrainian President Poroshenko to begin conflict with the Russian Federation. In other words, this was the revolution
right. That
will free up Ukrainian arms dealers to deal with unsavory interests from the West, like the Clinton Foundation. And then Nuland was in bed with this on Robert David's Steele when he exposed this, an ex-CIA operative. I've had him on my show. And Nuland is just tied into all these nefarious people, and she just went on and on and on in terms of orchestrating the overthrow. She was in the position to deliver orders from Obama, and this is Obama, to do the Ukrainian revolution. And this opened the door for illegal arms transfer and also chemical and biological weapons transfer to China. And I'm going to say that on the record here, although I can't talk about the ongoing investigation that will bring this under that umbrella, I can tell you that independently, we already made the same conclusion. So I can say this because it was our conclusion. And I'm going to tell you what I've been told is within 45 to 60 days, this will all be public information. I also said this, and this is really, to me, the telling coup de grace of bringing down this Ukrainian network. I said, if Nuland is charged, and I went through all the people she was involved in, all the crimes she committed in the and with regard to Ukraine, I said, if she's charged, she should be pardoned in exchange for information. And she should be, she could be the person who exposes everybody. And here's my question. Will Nuland survive to testify? Because I guarantee she's going to be brought back into this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's sort of the wild card that's out there and hasn't played a role in that era when the government was being overthrown by John Brennan and his little merry men, so to speak. And, of course, This is the Yovanovitch's, you know, there's another one, Ambassador Yovanovitch.
Oh, yeah.
Who was brought in as cleanup. There's a whole cleanup crew, by the way, and this is where Ambassador Yovanovitch was brought in 2016. But there were, when Obama knew he was going to they knew that they were going to lose to Trump, and they had it figured out. Before, there was an advanced group that came into the Ukraine. Yovanovitch was part of that group in August of 2016 to clean up the mess that was left behind by way of corruption from Obama. So there would be no evidence of what Obama and others had done. But unfortunately, there was plenty of evidence that was around there. And, of course, Yovanovitch, she came and testified against Donald Trump as his ambassador, who he fired, and he rightfully fired, and should have fired even many months before that. But she was the one who was targeted with cleaning up the whole Ukrainian mess. She didn't succeed. Guys like Rick Perry came in and kind of interrupted that. Throw that little name out there, what he did. Anyway.
Well, she was implicated. She was coached on what to say in the House impeachment trial.
Yeah.
We came across documents and published them that showed clearly she was told what she could and could not say with regard to Ukraine and that whole situation there. So she was a coached witness, and I went off on this and said her entire testimony should be thrown out. So you're absolutely right. I mean, and see, these are the players that are all forming their piece of the pie that's leading to what's going to come out this spring.
Right, right. Listen, Dave, tell us how we can get a hold of you, because I really appreciate you being with us here today.
TheCommonSenseShow.com is our website. We have a YouTube by the same name. And, of course, we share a network in Red State Talk Radio. We're also on Global Star. Our broadcast queen, so to speak, is KYAH Radio. So that's how people can follow us.
Awesome, Dave. And definitely look forward to more conversations for our listening audience here at Red State Talk Radio and Agenda 21 Radio. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, Dave Hodges joining us here on Agenda 21 Radio. I want to thank Dave. I think it brought a lot of insight into where we're at with a lot of different things. We got brighter news coming ahead, though, and, of course, we're going to be talking about New California and some of the things that are happening there with New California. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news, and also newcaliforniastate.com. And the new website, that there's a lot of things happening with it. We're in production for a lot of things, and that's New California State, NCS51.com. Okay, remember also to support our sponsor, MyPillow. Code word AGENDA, 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715. And, you know, we got just so many things going on here. It's just amazing. I'm sitting here wondering about all the different things that we have to have yet to cover here in the next hour, so you want to stay with us. We've got a whole slate of things to cover for the next hour here on Agenda 21 Radio. And again, these stories that we're bringing you, this information that we're bringing you, I think is top-flight information that will be, I guess, really transpiring and becoming more and more evident as the months and years go ahead. And remember, tomorrow morning when you wake up, Donald J. Trump is still going to be your president. Thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.